Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
A lot of girls growing up would love to have owned a Barbie doll. Some owned many Barbie dolls. I talked to my partner, Rachel, and she says actually at her parents' house, like in the roof, is like all their Barbies are still in there.
That's creepy.
I don't know if you can still hear them running around or trying to call the escape or something. The Barbie car, trying to hotwire the Barbie car in there or something. Ken's, you know, the relationships are a bit on the rocks in lockdown for all those years. But it's good to see finally they're releasing a range of Barbies that basically are seen as role models. Because over the years, you see the Barbies that come out, the tiny waist, all that sort of stuff. You're like, that's not realistic.
No.
You know, for young people to look at that and go, oh, so that's what I need to look like. Do I have to get Ken's attention or something like that?
I know, I thought that for a very long time.
Yeah.
So, very confused as a child.
You're like, put down the soldiers. Well, what about these Barbies over here? But it looks like they've released a range of Barbies to commemorate some of the heroes fighting COVID at the moment. I'm talking about British coronavirus vaccine developer Sarah Gilbert, who has faced a lot of accolades the last couple of years. Basically, she was the one who developed the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so you may have seen her at Wimbledon recently where all of a sudden people just started clapping in the crowd and because she was at the match watching one of them.
Yeah.
And she was just sitting there really awkward, sort of just sitting there going, oh, God, this is really embarrassing. But
it's like, stop clapping, you fools. You're spreading the virus.
Yeah, so now they've used
one
her
one clap, like in Tokyo. That's all you need.
A likeness rights to a Barbie in her name with the glasses, the hair, the everything as well. So
yeah,
it's good to see.
That's really cool.
Dressed appropriately as well, dressed in a nice-looking businesswoman uniform as well. And there's a whole bunch of other Barbies as well they've released that are role models as well, like nurses and things like that.
Have they modelled one of the new Barbies after our New South Wales Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Kerry Chant? Is there a Kerry?
Not quite, but actually the Sarah Gilbert one does look a bit like Kerry Chant.
A little bit,
A little bit. You could probably pass it off and go, that's our Keza there.
What about a Gladys Berejiklian Barbie? Are we going to get one of those?
Need a bit of extra plastic for that one in the rhinoplasty area.
Like that.
But we've got one in there as well, though, anyway. Kirby White. So she pioneered a surgical gown that can be washed and reused for frontline workers.
Genius.
So she's in there as well, which is absolutely fantastic. So,
and that's good, like stuff like that, because like I wouldn't even be aware about that surgical gown.
Nope.
Like, you know, we're a very innovative lot, us Australians.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you tell someone, we invented Wi-Fi, they're like, what?
Blows their mind.
So, yeah, sometimes we hide our light under a bushel, as they say. So, yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's good to see Barbie actually getting behind it as well. They're going to donate $5 to gowns for doctors for each, you know, Barbie doll nurse, one of the ones in that range that's been sold.
So what about accessories? Instead of the dream house, do you get like the COVID testing clinic?
Yeah, you get
like
the little
kit. Like these are all sold separately. You get the police van that can pull up to, you know, keep people in. You get the hotel for the quarantine.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of accessories as well, but just the standard sort of look. All the doctors have got the stethoscope, they've got the gown, they've got the scrubs, they've got the mask, they've got everything.
That's great.
It looks pretty cool as well. So good on them for doing that as well. So they're actually known as the AZ Barbies, the AstraZeneca Barbies. You know, not to be confused with the AV Barbies, the anti-vaxxer Barbies. These ones, they don't come with the stethoscope or the mask. All you get is just a crappy little cardboard sign. That's it.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
A lot of Aussies would have been watching last night, seeing Peter Boll just miss out on meddling in the 800-metre men's event. So, you know, he was still happy to be over there competing and put in an amazing effort. But you know, our track stars have been doing pretty well at the games, but every country's track athletes have been doing particularly well. And it's raised a few questions about just how helpful some of the technology is. Because you got Carsten Warholm in the men's 400-metre hurdles. He was the first person to run a sub-46 seconds time. And 7 of the 8 runners in that 400-metre hurdles final crossed the line with PBs, personal bests.
Yeah, did you see that race? And I think the first, like, maybe 3 or 4 actually would have broken the old world record as well.
There you go.
That's how fast that race was. It was unbelievable.
So there's kind of records tumbling left, right and centre. And some people are saying, well, is it down to the athletes and their physical and mental performance?
Yeah.
Or is technology playing a larger role? Now, they reckon that the track there in Tokyo was made by a company called Mondo. And it's a very special track. Some people have called it the trampoline track.
Oh, so it's a bit spongy like that when you go to a kid's playground and it's got that stuff so they don't hurt
exactly
themselves.
It's like the scientific description is a three-dimensional rubber granules specifically designed with a selected polymeric system that are integrated in the top layer and are added to the semi-vulcanized compound. This process guarantees the molecular bond between the granules and the surrounding matter. Okay, it's just playground rubber.
Yeah.
Say that. Times 100. That's so what
that,
it is.
That means when they go to the track, instead of like, I'm going to hit the track, I'm going to go burn some rubber. Is that what they're saying instead?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's just like, watch me go.
So you've got the kind of trampoline track happening.
Yeah.
Then you've got the shoes. Okay, so this is the equipment that the track athletes have to mm-hmm. work with. And according to one expert, Nike has come up with these dubbed super shoes.
Okay.
There's actually a hidden carbon plate that runs the length of the shoe. And in scientific terms, it means it returns a lot of the energy that runners would lose when they try, you know, when their foot hits the Mondo trampoline track. So, yeah, they reckon these Nike super shoes have all this new technology in them and they're hand-stitched by the best children that their sweatshops have to offer. And it's giving the athletes a performance boost.
Are they going to have someone, like, checking the shoes before the races? You know, they're going to have to, like, pass some new laws and it'd be like, hold the shoe up to the line.
Yeah. It's like, these are Dunlop volleys, what's happening there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you kind of go, okay, how much is the technology and how much
is
the athletes?
Is it helping?
So a lot of blood, sweat and tears go into the training, you know, these athletes. They're all in the lead up to this, you know, event that rolls around every 4 years. But I'm kind of like, it's the same debate we were having with those shark suits that the swimmers were wearing years ago.
A lot of the records got, like, you know, like scrubbed out of record books because of the suits and stuff.
So they ended up scrapping those suits.
Mm.
And I'm kind of thinking we need to do the same thing with this. In fact, I reckon we need to go all the way back to the traditional roots of the games and have every athlete compete in the nutty.
That
Brad's
a genius.
That way you take out the whole question of technology v, you know, the physical aspects of it. The original games, everyone was doing it in the nude.
Yeah, some events it could work for maybe. Other events like maybe the Greco-Roman wrestling might be a little bit...
That'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Fine.
Just put the oil on before you start.
Just tap out. Like, you know what I mean? If something goes in, tap out. That should be the rule. Now, just to point out, I'm not some dirty pervert like the Norwegian officials behind the women's handball team.
The
no, girls, you've got to do it in your bikini bottoms. So it's got nothing to do with having a perv at the athletes.
Okay.
It's just everyone's on a level playing field. We're all nude under our clothes. So that way we all perform the same. If we have no clothes on, we'll all be nutty. We'll have to deal. Oh, I say we like I'm going to be.
Well, yeah, you're going to compete.
Oh, my God. Watch the ratings plummet if you see me running along the track. No, I'm saying like, and you'd have more of the mental aspect as well. Imagine having to compete on a world stage in front of billions and they can all see your gear. You know what I mean? Like the gear that you were born with.
Maybe. I don't know. You have to write quite a few letters, I would imagine. There'd be a few little hurdles to jump over, no pun intended, to get this one through, I reckon.
Flopping when you're going over there. So, like, you remember Kathy Freeman's running suit?
Yeah.
At the Sydney Olympics?
Absolutely.
Well, that's gone. Now everyone's racing in their birthday suit.
Mm.
That's, you know, that's the only technology you would need out there. Like you said, with some events, it would cause some issues.
Yeah.
Mainly the men's baton relay. That's going to cause some real confusion. But other than that, I think it's great. Get them all in the nutty for the next games in Paris.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I'm just going to take my mask off for 1 second.
Oh,
that feels so good.
Yeah, these
breathing that sweet air
suck. Every time I see these protesters and we get a lockdown extension, like, thank God we don't have the lockdown here on the far south coast, but we still got to put up with these masks. And you're like, it's just because other people won't do the right thing.
Yeah.
And at first, yeah, it was like, I'm wearing
a
mask, you know, I'm kind of like Bane in the Dark Knight, just going like...
You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
But people in the office get real tired of you doing that impression. Like,
I just sound like Darth Vader every time I'm trying to breathe, especially if I go to the gym or something. It just feels like someone's standing on your chest where you got the mask on. And it's like, no matter how good your personal hygiene is, it's not fun.
No. You're smelling breakfast.
Yep.
Even when you're having dinner later on.
Yeah, every time I finish at the gym, it's like a mask smells like roast beef.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not fun. It's like I could have as many Eclipse chewy mints or whatever or breath spray or mint. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
You can't escape it.
It'd be interesting to see what the stock price for Listerine is at the moment. If it's been going up because of the mask-wearing mandate.
Yeah, but it's not just the bad smells we're copying from the masks as well. It looks like... acne has become a thing when it comes to masks as well because of all the greasiness on your face.
Look at this. Right where my cheeks are, right?
Unicorn!
It's like It's like puberty Brad has returned. I've got like bad skin again right where the mask rubs on the top of my cheeks. Like it creates ingrown hairs from my whiskers.
We're going to see you on those Clearasil commercials, or the ones with the icicle to try and clear up your face. Here's this Brad. We could show you Brad. He's never had a pimple in his life, but you just need to see the proof.
Oh, I'm hideous now.
But a lot of skincare clinics, though, are seeing lots of people turn up with this exact same problem as well.
Lana Zamponia has been inundated with clients suffering from mask-induced acne.
Sensitivity. A lot of sensitivity, redness, flushing.
I got one on my nose. I got one on my chin. Just like eczema as well.
It's thanks to the humid air circulating inside.
A bit moist. It's a bit gross.
It's known as maskne or even...
maskecne or mecne.
Yeah. It's even got names for it. And we breathe lots of hot air during the day on this show, so it's especially bad for us.
Yeah. Like I'm totally suffering from maskne at the moment. It's no good. And my skin, I mean, it's like unicorn skin. It's like, you know, most people have either soft skin or supple skin. I have both.
Look at you.
I'm so rare. That, you know what I mean? And this mask stuff is ruining that.
Yeah, and it seems like other masks also aren't helping when it comes to your skin as well. Take a listen to this.
It can come down to material. Some prefer paper.
Some of the paper masks are a little bit cooler on the face than the cloth mask.
But...
some people are even allergic to the paper content in the mask.
Then there's irritation caused by constant hand washing, hand sanitizer, and latex gloves.
So it's like no matter where you turn, you're still going to cop it. It's like if you try and get the paper mask, it's like these ones are a bit like crepe paper and flimsy. They're not working either as well. Whole bunch of issues with it.
Yeah.
I'd imagine my face is feeling that greasy just with this mask on, like this fabric one. I imagine if I had a paper one on, it'd be like when you get the fish and chips from the fish and chip shop and it starts to clear the paper as well. So, that's bad enough for me, but I really feel bad for like fast food workers. Just imagine when people walk in with all the pimples they got, they'd be a little bit like this, I reckon.
Can I help you, sir?
My God, you're greasy.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.